the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance is celebrating Pride Month this month, and is kicking it all off with also Fabuloso and their Barebacks and Transparent Love. Today, I'm sitting down with Lou Moreno, Artistic Director of INTAR for Also Fabuloso, and writer and actor Maureen Muldoon from Transparent Love, and Errol Schomburg, the Executive Director for the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. Everyone, want to just start by introducing yourself?
My name is Lou Moreno. I'm the Artistic Director of INTAR Theater in Manhattan, and also the Director of Also Fabuloso and the Barebacks, that was produced by us on the streets of New York and then at the McKittrick Hotel. And now we have our second night at Joe's Pub before we come up to the Tustin and then eventually onto the Palm Pass.
Hey, Maureen Muldoon, and I am the founder of Spiritual Speakeasy, and I am the creator of Transparent Love, which is a one-woman show that's been touring the country to bring some awareness and conversations around what it feels like to have your child move through a transition, and really what it feels like for all of us to transition.
I said this event kicks off on Friday night with Also Fabuloso and the Barebacks. Lou, for those who haven't heard the sound of Also Fabuloso and the Barebacks, how would you describe it, and what can sort of folks expect? I see it described sort of as a rock epic musical.
Also Fabuloso is a superhero story set in the midst of a contemporary American rock and roll musical. It's basically a rock concert where Also sets out with his Dr. Calvo, his therapist, to address some of his love issues from the past as he sets a better life for himself into the future.
Just said yay to that. That just sounds like fun. Looking forward to that.
You said previously you've been having some performances down in New York City. How long has this production been in development?
We randomly opened up the show back in June of 2021. Sorry, COVID has kind of blacked out all dates. June of 2021, part of the Open New York Festival, where the city was giving out all these incredible, they were just like, please bring your arts onto the street. Let's open up New York again. We were going to do a small concert performance and for 50 people, that was all we were allowed to sell. And it was such a hit that we were playing to over 250 people every night on 52nd Street, Manhattan, with no promotion. It was a big, loud rock and roll musical. So that was great advertising. And people were kind of like literally hanging out of their windows, onto their balconies, and bringing their kids, which was really wonderful to see this big queer musical in front of all of New York City. It was really kind of beautiful. And then we moved from there. We moved over to the McKittrick Hotel, where Sleep No More played for a short run. And then we did one night at Joe's Pub at the Public Theater. That was a huge success for us, too. And they invited us back to play Pride this year. So we're doing New York City Pride on the 22nd, which is this Wednesday night. I'm leaving this interview for the road. And then back up here for Friday and Saturday night.
Your production company mostly works with Latin artists and writers and producers. Why is that important?
We've been around for almost 60 years now. INTAR Theater is the home to probably the touchstone for every Latin American theater maker in its history. They kind of either have worked here or desire to work here. Produced over 100 and almost 200 plus plays at this point. We're a major part of the American theater canon. Why it's important, I think it's my job to make us not important, but unfortunately, make INTAR not important. We still struggle to find place for Latin American artists in the mainstream of the American theater. It's been our mission to make sure that we're positioned there on a meaningful and equal basis. And hopefully at some point, myself and INTAR won't be needed, but in the meantime, we produce some of the best Latino theater that America has to offer. I would argue the best, but that would get me in trouble with a lot of people.
Now, Maureen, your event happens on Saturday, June 25th at 7:30 at the Tustin Theater in Nowersburg. Transparent Love, Boys Will Be Girls. For those who haven't heard about this or haven't seen any clips of it, how would you describe your show?
Well, it begins with finding out that my child, through posting a announcement on his bedroom door, that he a pansexual transgender now lives amongst us in our home. And having gone from like totally not being prepared for this, and it's not really in what to expect when you're expecting. And so you going through allowing myself to go through all of the things that begin to come to the table to look at and to wrestle with and to embrace. And so the show is in kind of like two parts, where it's, you know, being on one side of the door and all of the resistance around change, and then the character moving through the door and then finding what the reality is on the other side of the door, and still, you know, recognizing that as we cross thresholds of change, that we're walking into the mystery. We don't know, but that, you know, there's so much less to fear than actually is ever there. It you know, it's funny, it's poignant, and it's helpful. You know, it's helpful for parents who are, or really anyone who seems to be resisting a change.
How long has this one woman show been in development?
Well, you know, it started 2018. We did a run in Chicago at the Madison Street Theater. And from there, we were invited down to Florida. We took Best in Show and Best Performance. And then we began to tour. We got invited out to the Whitefire Theater for their solo fest. And then, like Lou was saying, we got shut down through, I mean, we did some churches and we did some schools, but after that, it was just like, we had this whole tour actually planned with the Neurosburg Theater, and a lot of it just went to sand, as so much did. And but, you know, thank God we're coming back to being able to gather together and continue to have these conversations that need to be had.
The month of June is Pride Month, and it said the DVAA is celebrating Pride. Maureen, I'll start with you. What does Pride Month mean to you?
You know, it's interesting because I'm from currently living in a small Midwest town, and we've hung a lot of flags in our front yard. But I noticed that when we hung our big, you know, rainbow flag, that it was a little bit different than what people had seen in our neighborhood. And the best story I have around it is that there was a man who, after the shootings in Florida, he lived in our neighborhood, and my whole neighborhood put out their flag, their pride flag, and he wrote a letter to each person. He was saying, like, being from this neighborhood, I never thought I would be supported in being who I am. I'm a mom. I'm always going to cry when I get around these kind of Hallmark moments, but And so it's, for me, it's not just about pride, but it's about unity. You know, it's about support. It's about unity. It's about inclusion. It's about, you know, absolutely celebration. But just like Lou was saying, like, I hope that we get to the point where every day everyone's being celebrated for who they need to be at that particular moment. So we're not there yet. And these days, these celebrations are hugely important. You know, there's still people who aren't out, who don't feel safe to be out. So it's hugely important to create opportunities for people to celebrate the courageous act of just being you.
Well said, well said. And how about you, Lou? What does Pride Month mean to you?
I would second quite a bit of what Maureen just said. I've been, as a straight cisgendered guy, that has found himself doing quite a bit of work in the queer community. I worked for a queer homeless youth shelter in Manhattan, the Ali Forney Center. That was sort of like the beginning of like my awakening of how deep of a, you know, we lived in the New York City bubble for a long time, and didn't really realize how hard it was to be out as a gay kid or anywhere in the LGBTQ plus community, how hard that was. And I don't know if I refocused my work, but I definitely kept my peripheral vision wider after working in that center. So Pride for me is really about amplifying the pride of the LGBTQ community around me at all times. And I try to take that pride beyond the month of June. It's more of a culmination of the year or of the work that we celebrate, but it continues on through July and beyond. So I hope that answers the question. I've been called an ally, but I'm not sure I can wear that title very, very. I see so much other bigger, harder work happening out there. To be called an ally is really touching, but I can't imagine that I'm doing all that much.
Since the start of the modern gay rights movement 20 plus years ago, Maureen, what do you think has stayed the same, has gotten better, or has gotten worse?
Well, oh my gosh, so many advancements. And we're seeing some of these shifts happen like melting snow in April, you know, and it's so beautiful. And I think that the major catalyst for that is the consciousness of our children. They're like, just figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, for our parents, like, maybe it was like the technical edge of like learning how to work a VCR. And it was like, come on, mom and dad, like figure it out. Now with these kids, it's like, we're all, you know, we're all on the spectrum of gender, like figure it out. You know what I mean? So their frustration and their consciousness kind of helps pull us all into a reckoning and a realization. So I think that is maybe the biggest catalyst that I've seen. And, you know, getting to work with transgender communities around schools and having these non-binary bathrooms, incredible. Like, that's just incredible. It's funny because someone mentioned the other day when I was doing the show, she was like, all of our bathrooms at home are non-binary. And I was like, yeah, that's true, right? Like, what's the big deal? So we are a human family and we can figure it out. What's not going fast enough? Gosh, sometimes in regards to legalese, I feel like we're going backwards. And especially around education and what's happening in Texas and in Florida. I just feel like that is just unfortunate steps that are taking us backwards as opposed to forwards around book banning and sex education. You know, my son is transgender, and I had someone say to me recently, like, oh my goodness, like when we include like a more inclusive sex education, we'll be teaching the littles about gay sex. I'm like, first of all, they're not littles. By the time we're teaching them about sex, they need to know about sex, number one. And number two, there are gay children who need to know about sex. Like that, like, is that like our, it just doesn't even make any sense to me. So that's what I'd say about that.
And how about you, Lou? What do you think sort of since the start of the gay rights movement, do you think may have gotten better or may have gotten
worse?
Yes,
they have gotten better. I think that has to be said clearly, but I do think like Maureen just mentioned, the emphasis has to be on the people that are trying to push it back into the closet, because that is a very real threat that we've experienced for the last 4 years and continue to this day. The last 4 years because of, we all know what I'm saying. There's been a real assault on these communities, but there has been incredible process. I mean, I married Osto and his husband, Jeffrey, 3 years ago, July 1st, I believe. I mean, that was not even a possibility when I was a kid. But the truth is that the fighting is about people that are like my age and above, because these kids have it. They get it. I've taught at so many universities and colleges and high schools, and like, this is not their problem to solve. This is ours. And the good news for them is we're all going to die off and they're going to have this world to themselves and it's going to be great. But in the meantime, we have to fight harder and harder and harder for them to protect them. And that's what I think being a real ally is that we just have to keep on awakening the unawakened of my generation.
Ariel Schomburg for the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. DVA is celebrating Pride. Just tell us more, a little bit more about the events that are happening and what else is going on during Pride Month.
These are two central activities, but you know, if you look at DVAA's calendar throughout the year, you will absolutely see LGBTQAI plus voices in all our programming. But you know, for this month, for celebrating Pride, it was so important that you know, we give visibility to stories that are in the rainbow, that we use our platforms, you know, to say representation matters. And we're fortunate to be in such a diverse and welcoming community. But at the same time, know that there are people who maybe are a little more in, how would you say it, an isolated or an inexperienced situation, and a theatrical production, a performance at the Tustin Theater can be a safe place for them to come into contact with voices that maybe they feel aligned with, connected with, but don't feel the support around them.
Now, Ariel, for those who are listening and want to get tickets for both performances, how can they do so?
They can visit us on our website, DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org, and they'll find information detailing both shows as well as links to get tickets. Advanced tickets are more affordable than at the door, and I have a feeling these will be two really popular shows, so I encourage everybody to hop online as soon as they can.
Lou, before we go, Lou Marine, before we go, is there anything I have not touched on that you want our listeners to know, either about Pride or either about either events that's going to happen this weekend?
I think what I really like to say is that, you know, I talked a lot about how this show was developed and built down in New York City, but the truth of the matter is that both myself, Julian Jimenez, who plays Oso Fabuloso, my keyboardist, Robert Cowie, and his wife, the producer, are all residents of this community up here. It's been super exciting for us to, you know, stop the commute to the city and actually do some of the work that we work so hard on up here. I mean, the real reason that we're doing the show up here is because of the generosity of the Tustin Theater and the DBAA, where they gave us free space to rehearse. Back in, I want to say it was October, maybe it was September. It was November of last year. They gave us heat in a bitter cold, which allowed us to take the show back to the city. And it's why we kind of like in, you know, we said, look, if you give us this, we'll be happy to do a presentation of it when it's Pride. So because we're local, we're able to work up here and bring the work we worked so hard on to showcase it for the general population up here. So I wanted to make sure that was clear. That's it. I'll shut up.
Lou, after this performance on Friday, what else is in store for you?
I have one of my board member. He's actually a past board member, but is still a very, very close friend of mine. Lives on the other side of the Catskills, and both he and I are, you know, idle hands, devil's workshop. We're always looking for something fun to do. So we are trying to create some sort of an arts public show, something to do in the dead of winter, which is probably a terrible idea from the producer standpoint. But living up here in the cold and in the snows, having something to come out and do sounds like a lot of fun. So we're looking to do some sort of an ice fest, frozen fest, we don't know, but it would be some sort of a collaboration of all kinds of artists, from music to theater to visual arts. We're just trying to figure out what that means. Is it mobile? Is it going to be out on a frozen lake? Probably not, but that's my crazy idea. Something along those lines, but that I would look forward for something like that in February for up here in the Catskills.
And Maureen, before we go, is there anything else that we have not touched on that you want our listeners to know about your show?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, being able to offer these conversations and these awarenesses and these inspirations through art is such a great, like, entrance point for somebody to learn more, because it's not political and it's not religiosity, but it's a safe container that can assist people, like, to really have a better understanding of topics that they might not ever approach, which is wonderful. Because, I mean, that art can do so much in regards to that. Theater can do so much in regards to that. And I just feel like to acknowledge that once again, that this is one of the few and rare places where we tend to let go of those other identifiers so that we can join together and be entertained and find insight into being human. And so, like, deep bow to the theater owners and the people who run theater, because it's important.
And after this performance, what else are you working on?
Sure. The day after the show on Sunday, we'll be having a writer's workshop to support community voices to come in and work on maybe stories that they haven't told and need to be told. So I just wanted to let people know that that will be happening. And the next time I'll be doing this show that's on the books is on National Coming Out Day in October 11th at the Center in Halstead. So the show is, it will continue on, but it's just going to be so great to have it at the Tustin Theater, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there.
DVEA Celebrates Pride. It kicks off this Friday with Also Fabuloso and the Barebacks on June 24th at 7:30. Then on Saturday, Transparent Love, Boys Will Be Girls. Thank you so much for Lou and Maureen and Ariel for joining me this morning and letting us know about DVEA and how DVEA is celebrating Pride. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patricio Rubio.